content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very, very much. I would like to thank Juan for keeping the show together. Thank you, brother. It's always good. You know, it's always one. Yeah, man, get the round of applause going for him, everybody. You can find us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and also Anchor FM and iTunes amongst many, 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 many more networks, okay? So if you are an expert or an authority or you have an amazing personal story that revolves around the supernatural, we definitely want to know about it. All you have to do is go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your information there, and we will get back with you. And make sure you follow us on Facebook at Spiritually Raw and join us on our Facebook group, Secrets to Radio Riches. And remember, you are only one show away, and we have a jam-packed lineup for you today. We have a very cool show. Two exciting gentlemen are going to share their experiences from astral travel to Sasquatch. I mean, it's pretty interesting stuff, so get ready for this ride. But first off, let's talk about our first guest. Kenneth Hyde Hopkins has had and continues to have out-of-body experiences, time travel, contact and dialogues with celestials, psychic awareness, and telepathic communications. He's also the author of Earth Transformations, written for contactees about the beginning of awareness and journey ahead. Many of us have had thousands of contacts with celestials and are not aware of this, says Kenneth. So let's find out about that by welcoming him to the show. Kenneth, thank you very much for being on today.
Hello.
All right, don't rush the stage, everybody. It's all good. So, Kenneth, when did this start for you? I mean, when did all this start? I mean, that's out of body experiences, time travel, contact. Did it all hit you all at once?
No, actually, most of my life, I didn't have a clue. I was aware of missing time experiences, but I didn't understand them. So, the abductions I was involved with were with the Greys in 1975 through 77. I had no awareness of what these blackouts were about until 2002, 2003. I started getting flashbacks on what I called blackouts.
So
it was hypnosis and researching that got clarity to what occurred in the blackouts.
When you were abducted, now you said you got flashbacks of it. So am I understanding you right? Or if you can help clarify for me, when you were abducted, initially you did not know you were abducted. You just got flashbacks later on that were like, oh my gosh, I was abducted?
Actually,
or how did that work?
In my abductions, I'd be in a car. There'd be 12 different women involved in these. And suddenly the clock would be an hour and a half ahead or 45 minutes ahead in what would seem like a split second. When I became involved in the Department of Defense, they realized what was going on. I had no understanding. They put a young woman from the MK Ultra projects with a cerebral implant to participate in the abductions I would have that summer of 76.
What was it like when you went through that? I mean, did you come back feeling like, okay, you got this lost block of time? Was there any type of feeling of pain or disorientation, or was it just, okay, where'd the time go?
There's usually a certain level of disorientation. But what was peculiar was the fact I'd be driving a car, and I'd be driving the car afterwards. So, in the missing time, I was driving a car. This made no sense to me.
What do you think?
It still doesn't fully make sense.
Do you get an idea, or what do you think they wanted from you?
The Greys have a hybrid program. They were interested in the women I was with. They would implant what I assume to be embryos in the women and then send us back.
Okay, I want to talk about this for a second. You say the women you were with, the Grays were interested in the women you were with. Did you say something about that you had 12 women with you?
No. Over 1975 to 1977, there'd be about 12 women involved in these missing time experiences.
12 women. Okay, so they were... Now, how did, when you say that they were interested in the women you were with, what was the correlation between you and these women that connected the dots with you and the Grays?
I don't know why they seem to have a specific interest in specific women. I don't know why they had interest in those women. I don't know. All I know is in the regressions, the women were brought into a separate room in the ships. Everything was done on these small ships. And I was not in the room. I was in a separate room. So with the woman from the Department of Defense, they were not interested in her for the hybrid project. They were interested in her because of a cerebral implant.
So when they go to the
MK Ultra project, Monarch and Artichoke involved the placement of implants in young children's heads. That seemed to be the interest for the biggest missing time experiences.
What were the purpose of the implants in people's heads, the children's heads? Like, what were they trying to do? Was it more of a tracking system and seeing how they live their lives, or just was it tracking their brain function?
I talked to a man that removed them, a surgeon. I could not get the purpose of these implants. I should look it up again because maybe it's been released since when I last looked at it. The implant connected to the brain stem. The Grays would disassemble the agent and they'd show me the implant in her head. In the picture in my book, I show a young child with the wires coming from her head. So I know they had to tune this to some extent, these implants. I'm assuming there was some kind of tracking device. Because what I'm assuming, there are helicopters involved in a number of these incidences with the young, with this woman. So I'm assuming that the implant sent out a some kind of honing sound so they can track it. May have been the purpose of why she was picked.
Was there any sexual experiences with the Grays and these women?
Not with that one.
But some of them there was.
Yes.
And was that for the purpose of breeding, hybriding?
Okay, in the hybrid project that was approved by the United States government in 1953 by the Eisenhower administration, they were given permission for the exchange of technological information to put these embryos into the young women. And then about 5 weeks to 2 months, somewhere in that period of time, they picked the women up, removed the embryos, and then returned the women back.
Does this go on now still? Do these government projects like this, do you feel like it still goes on right now, or was it specific to an era?
I've heard testimony. I continue to interview people worldwide. I've heard testimony that comes up pretty recent, 2015.
Wow. So, man, so tell me a little bit about, moving past this a little bit, I want to know more about, you know, when you take a look and you talk about time travel, tell me about that. Are you... what that experience has been like for you?
This is with another group. And I thought these were dreams until I set up cameras. When I found out that during these dreams I was not present in the room, I had left the room. The process we recorded was plasma teleportation. I am since setting up cameras, but they're not working on this. But the person would be turned into energy and then teleported. We filmed this with still shots, which I published in the book. And these experiences with the plasma teleportation, time travel occurred to one particular time that came up was 1960. I don't know why. This group that I was leading with also had a hybrid program. But anyways, to get to the time travel, there'd be symptoms in these time travel experiences. After teleportation, I would start a cough.
Kenneth, hold that thought for me. We got to take a quick break and get to our sponsor. We'll be right back. More with time travel, everybody. Hang tight. Internationally known eternal life coach, Brian Arnold was a professionally trained card shark who made over $4 million by age 24. He also became suicidal. He was seconds away from pulling the trigger when divine intervention stepped in. He had a powerful spiritual experience and was instantly delivered from his darkness and found his purpose for living. Brian has spent over 45 years helping tens of thousands of people battling depression, addictions, and suicidal thoughts, getting control and their lives back and turn their mess into a message of hope and inspiration. Brian Arnold created the Miracle Working Card A Day Mental Health Nutrition Strategy. Cleanse your thoughts and renew your mind to a higher, better life. Get a free set of 26 Miracle Working Cards today. Go to www.kingdomproblemsolvers.com. That's kingdomproblemsolvers.com. Get worldwide exposure. Be heard live on hundreds of the world's largest live broadcast stations. Spiritually Raw, the ass-whipping truth wants you. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, theories, and dogmas surrounding the spirit world, and no topic is taboo. Do you have an amazing or unusual personal story? Are you an author, expert, or authority in ancient mysteries, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, world religions, or anything revolving around the spirit world? If so, then Spiritually Raw wants you. Be a featured guest, highlight your products and services, and showcase your personality. We book up really fast, so go to spirituallyraw.com and submit your request today. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very, very much. We are with Mr. Kenneth Hopkins. So, Kenneth, tell us a little bit before. We were just diving right into it before we had to go to break on time travel. So can you pick up there for me?
Sure. There were symptoms that were definitely associated with time travel. One was this coughing and spitting up the lining, what felt like the lining of my throat and mouth. This would continue for a period of time until I got rid of whatever was crusting in the lining of my throat and mouth. Also, there was a loss of physical dexterity. I didn't have control, fine motor with my hands. And so this made me realize that these symptoms were connected to the time travel experiences.
Do you feel like, you know, the symptoms, okay, so you had the experience. Do you feel like the symptoms were something part of that was maybe like the actual, let's call it chips or anything related to the abduction or, you know, things that were maybe implanted in you?
No, I think I've heard on some of this stuff of, in the government time travel experiments, they were doing intestinal and rectal and examining the areas of the mucous membranes. Now, I'm assuming the areas that started secreting this crust in my mouth was affiliated with the mucous membranes.
Yikes.
And it was a symptom of the travel.
So who controls this technology? I mean, the government controls this. They make an agreement with the people, the government and the, let's call it the alien government, whatever, and they just come to some agreement and said, you can test so many of our people?
I have no idea who controls where we're teleported at night. And it's definitely a technology way beyond anything that has certainly been explained in our reality. Turning the photographs will show the physical body turning into energy and then reverting, eventually it reverts back to a solid form.
Are you still going through this now?
I'm still having, this is why I'm setting up cameras.
So you're still having these experiences now?
Yes.
Man, oh man. So what is it like? I mean, are you, does it cause you anxiety? Does it, you know, what is it? How do you even live with this?
A lot of us have a lot of anxiety before going to bed at night. And many of us abduct these on these experiences. So a lot of us have been taking Xanax, Ativan to deal with the anxiety that's associated with our sleep or us getting to sleep. They always take us, for the most part, unconscious. They want us in a sleep state when they take us. Rare occasion they've taken us alert and conscious, and that's rare. In some of these cases, a person will teleport into the bedroom, and then the other person will leave with them.
Do you, when you talk about us, is there a kind of organization or group? Do you get to share this with other abductees that are there?
I've been sharing this on a number of Facebook Messenger, and I've been interviewing people in Messenger across the world. And I'm continuing to get information. In these experiences, there is so much indifferences.
And
one person's experience is not going to be like another one's necessarily. I have one other person who's been in my experiences that I met. So she and I have worked with the cameras.
Do you get to meet as groups? Do you talk about this? Because this sounds like something that, you know, there's a lot of emotional trauma that's happening for people. Do you get to actually sit and, you know, kind of get together so you can all maybe get through it? Or is there any type of chat? I know you said Facebook and that, but do you get to talk as in groups like that?
The conventions have been a help at bringing people together. What I'm hoping to do with radio is to get open discussion with people having the experiences, them sharing. I love the back and forth questioning because you know where that person is in relationship to their experiences and their understanding of their experiences. And so you can answer them in a way that they can understand what is happening to them. There are people I'm coming across that are do not understand what's happening to them.
When you went through this or gone through this, and you, so have you yourself had some experiences where you were conscious and like, oh man, I'm being abducted, or I'm actually here, or, you know, literally seeing that?
Yeah, I've had several. I was awakened one night, and a woman visitor, and paralysis prior to her taking me, but she stuck a needle in my feet to wake me up, so I'll be aware that she took me.
Yeah.
In the genetic project, a woman appeared in solid form in my bathroom and then took me to her bedroom.
So hold on for a second. I just want to make sure I understand what you just said. So in another form, a woman appeared in your bathroom. Was this an alien woman that appeared, an alien feminine woman that appeared in your bathroom?
I'm assuming she is.
And she appeared in your bathroom, and she's there to be able to. And when you're awakened during experience, do they try to get you back to sleep really fast?
Something else awakened me before her arrival. I don't think she was planning on me being awake when she arrived. Something disturbed me, and then I woke up. And then I watched her form, and this particular group looked very human. These people live in houses and apartments that I'm teleported to. They appear to be on Earth. In my younger episodes, they were on ships. I don't know who this group is. I just know them by their customs, and they speak English. They're telepathic.
Do they? You know, are they evil? Are they good? Are they neutral? I mean, do you get any sense of that?
There's a certain group of rules that have to take place in a particular genetic program project with this one group. There's expected behaviors. In my experiences, I have to say, are relatively positive.
Yours are relatively positive. Good for you. Okay. Okay.
The grays were traumatic. They have their purposes. This other group has classes that I was attending since childhood. I don't remember the substance of the classes. Sometimes I remember bits and pieces. With the hypnosis, we were able to reconstruct some of the classes. But for the most part, we don't remember. We've been shown formulas that we work with. As we become more conscious, we can't work with them. All senses are involved in these experiences, touch, feeling, smell. They are not dreams, which took me a long time to realize.
Do you feel like this way of life that has now become your way of life, being abducted and, you know, having these with, you know, the time travel, everything like that, where you're at in your point of life right now, would you trade it in for anything? Do you appreciate all these experiences you're going on, or you wish they'd never happened to you?
God, I'm grateful in many ways because it's given me the opportunity to meet different groups of ETs. It's given me a chance to see their spiritual, their higher spiritual planes they relate from. So for me, the overall experience, I have to say, is positive.
Okay. All right. So, Mr. Kenneth Hyde Hopkins, tell us a little bit about how our audience can get a hold of you, and what messages would you like to share with our audiences before you leave us today?
All right. I have a site on Facebook that has an H. It's just an H under Kenneth Hopkins. I also have an email that I use for contact, khop53@outlook.com. And that's where I have been getting my preliminary contacts, and then I'll go further with phone conversation when I feel these contacts would have something to gain in further communication. So basically the email, I don't wish to give my phone.
Don't give your phone number. Don't do that. All right. So what about where they can buy your book and get a copy of your book?
My book is available through Lulu Publishing. It's of course called Earth Transformations. Or Earth Transformation, and the publisher is Lon Starkweather. But Lulu Publishing, you just look up the book in my name and it comes up on the internet.
Earth Transformation, everybody. Author Kenneth Hyde Hopkins. He already gave you his email address. He's already told you he doesn't want you to get your phone number out, so don't call him and don't bother him. Kenneth, thank you very much for being on the show with us. And, you know, listen, man, bless you on your experience. And enjoy the ride, all I could say. Yep.
All right. You take care.
Yep.
And have a great evening.
Yep, you too. Oh, wow. Interesting stuff, huh? All right, so let's talk about our next guest. What do you say? All right, everybody, up next, Dakota Franson is an author, poet, musician, and host of Specialist of Strange Radio Show. Dakota has been in the face of demonic beings, Sasquatch, UFOs, and much more. At the age of 14, he founded the Paranormal Raider Force, a team of individuals dedicated to helping people understand the issues from unknown sources. His experience spans from investigations, summoning, exorcism, documentation, research, and experimentation. So let's welcome Dakota to the show. Dakota, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Good, brother. Good. Right on, right on. Okay, well, yeah, man. So you got some cool stuff here, too, man. Paranormal Raider Force. You were promoted at age 14, and you found the Paranormal Raider Force. Let me wrap my head around that. Can you help us with that one?
All right. Well, when I was 14, I wanted to try to establish my own team of investigators. I wanted to try to join some of the local teams, but unfortunately, because of my young age, they didn't want to really mess with me, just saying, hey, you're a dumb kid, you know, go live your life. So what I did is I went off on my own, gathered some friends of mine from school, and we managed to make it for a few months until one demonic incident broke us up and put most of the team in the hospital, if I'm being honest with you.
So tell me about that demonic force. What was it, or, you know, and how did you, you know, where did it come from, and how did it come to you, if you would?
Well, the story itself is strange. One of my team members, she had mentioned that she had been dealing with some issues in her own home. She wanted to get, you know, my help on the subject. I was the expert in everything. Everybody else just kind of followed my lead to kind of check things out. At first, I was skeptical because I try to be open-minded, but at the same time, there's a lot of misconceptions out there thinking, oh, maybe there's just some sort of stress going on that's causing things. Until she showed me a video of her younger brother, who was 5'11" at the time, you know, going on 250 pounds, football player, being thrown across the room by something you cannot see.
This is what you saw?
It was on a video that she had showed me in order to get my attention to say, basically tell me, yeah, something's going on. I really need your help.
So
as things went on, I'm sorry?
No, it's okay. Go ahead, man.
As the case went on, we started looking into things. I had the family with me to try to interview them all, try to understand more about what was going on. There was this huge coffee table that starts getting flipped around. You hear this room start feeling get real hot. There seemed like there was voices coming out of everywhere. It just got to be a real big mess.
Do you still experience these things now at that level?
Every now and then there's a case that comes to me. I've been attacked in my own home after having to perform in an exorcism.
You've been attacked by performing an exorcism. So tell me that experience. So when you're performing this exorcism, do you bring in the priests, or is it a team, or what does that even look like?
What I do is I first try to identify the demon itself. Basically, this guy, he had been seeing that what looked like a gigantic black shadowy dog follow him around. That's how he described it to me. I got a chance to meet him finally because something was just not feeling right. He goes to describe a dream he had where he was forced to sign a contract that was in parchment paper in his own blood, because whatever demonic entity was after him said, if you don't sign this, you will not wake up.
And so when he signs this in parchment paper in his own blood, would you refer to that as that was his deal with the devil? Or his devil?
In a way, yes. I tried to figure out who exactly it was. It wasn't necessarily Satan. I don't try to generalize these cases. I try to figure out the specific entity. It was during the night that he seemed the most active. We tried to basically get him to announce who he is so we can figure out what his deal is, who would be best to contact on angelic realms to counter him and get this guy some help that he needs, because he was getting to the point where nobody wanted to be around him. He was starting to get physically sick. It was during this that the demon itself didn't directly answer us, but he carved his name into the client's neck.
What?
Yeah.
And you saw this?
I saw this.
Okay, hang tight, man. There's so much to talk about with you, so little time, but I want to get to a word from our sponsor. We'll be right back more with Dakota, France, and everybody. Hold on. Go where no mind has gone before with Michael Telstar. Michael Telstar is a master remote viewer and holds 7 world records in escapology. Learn to remote view and become the ultimate psychic detective. Find lost objects, locate treasure, and missing persons. Master of mentalism, Michael Telstar is making a special appearance at the Mega UFO Conference February 15th to the 22nd at the Aquarius Resort in Laughlin, Nevada. Join him as he amazes you with his entertaining demos to bend metal, levitate objects, and so much more. Michael Telstar is available for events and seminars on remote viewing, out-of-body adventures, and lucid dreaming. Connect with Michael Telstar at 437-234-7713 or MichaelTelstar.com. That's Michael, TelStarr.com. Warning, radical new information about the death of Jesus, told by a present-day eyewitness. So bizarre, it may be very difficult to find agreement with, but in hopes will stir your curiosity and cause you to embark upon your own journey. My Journey Beyond the Bizarre, by Apollo spacecraft engineer Edward J. Evers, tells what really happened to Jesus in his last hours here on Earth. How? Because Edward J. Evers was there in a past life. Discover statements never spoke before now, plus the workings of your conscious and subconscious minds, past lives, you as a spirit, UFOs, and so much more. Get your copy of My Journey Beyond the Bizarre by Edward J. Evers at www.ejevers.com. Again, that's EJEVERS.com. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much, Dakota Franson. Okay, so Dakota, before we get on to the next topic here real quick with you, is our producer wants to know when the exorcism happens, is it like a projectile like you see in the movies?
No, there was no projectile in the moment. It was just intense emotion. Then as we start to look away, this guy starts to grab his neck like something's... You're trying to choke him out. I look and I'll physically watch the demon scratch his name into the guy's neck.
And when that's happening, when he's scratching the name in the guy's neck, I mean, is this person in pain? I mean, is it anguish for them, or is it just, are they even aware?
Whatever was going on with him, he didn't seem like he noticed it. He knew that something was attached to him. But it seemed like he was too overwhelmed to really register what was going on. I hate to use this morbid example, but it's like how sometimes when a gunshot victim is asked by the medics whether or not they actually felt it to gauge how bad the damage might actually be.
You know, we have a previous guest on, and he was talking about his experience with UFOs and time travel and things like that. And why do you think this is – do you get any – you know, with the path you're taking right now, do you get any rhyme or reason why this is happening to you or – why you're just so crystal clear aware of this?
Well, for my case, there's actually a bit of a family history. I've gone back and actually traced back supernatural events for almost 400 years. Some of my earliest ancestors were witches, some of the first witches executed during the Salem witch hunts. And it's a little hard to prove, but going over to England as well, there's stories of psychic visions, telekinesis all over the place. I'm just this genetically dispositioned to see some weird crap, man.
Yeah, you are. Okay. All right. Right on. Hey, so what do you think about time traveling? What's your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of what is going on is a matter of super string theory that is often barely being touched on by mainstream science. What we're seeing, I'm skeptical of a lot of time travel reports, but because of how light itself works and how, like the previous guest was mentioning, how abduction victims seem to turn into light, just because of how that process works, how light works when it's moving throughout the universe, throughout creation, beyond places we can actually see, it's a bit of a side effect in most cases.
Like, kind of like when people say they see the light?
Exactly.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. So when you have these experiences, and I'm going to kind of jump here back a little bit, because when you have these experiences, for example, with the exorcism, do you feel like that person, did that person unconsciously or in some way, was it, did it have to do with surrounding themselves? You know, people talk about, oh, you're surrounding yourselves with dark energy and or surround yourself with light. I mean, can you actually protect yourself from that experience?
Yes, you can actually protect yourself. I have noticed that in a common theme when it comes to a lot of negative cases I've handled, it's a situation I come to call post-traumatic psychosomatic manifestations, or that's too long for some people to understand. I usually go by another name called Carey syndrome, when basically something that is affecting the person's mental state is reflecting in the physical environment, a lot like the Stephen King novel.
So when you talk about that, okay, when they have that there and they're going through that process and you talk about the Stephen King novel, you know, what made you just, I mean, why do you associate it to that? I mean, what even gives you perspective to say, okay, this is like that Stephen King novel?
Because I, whenever these cases come up, I try to get a personal background on the family. Because whatever drew these demonic beings or just negative spirits, obviously there was something that may have drawn it to them or it's causing it to get aggravated. I found that in order to really help the person involved, you've got to take it on all fronts. They may have to actually admit themselves into therapy to deal with some, maybe some issues of previous abuse. There's been situations where I've seen abusive spouses all of a sudden get attacked by spirits when it turned out to be the victim's own parents, deceased parents, trying to defend them.
Do you feel like a lot of this stuff that's happening to people, abductions, what's called time travel, out-of-body experiences, whatever they see, you know, any of these things, the experiences, do you feel like that is happening to them? Does that have anything to do with any type of past life thing that they may have done and it's something they have to go through? Or do you feel like it's just something that, you know, do they just open themselves up? Like, for example, like, you know, Ouija boards. I mean, is there anything to that? Do they actually just say, you know, once they open something up, it's hard to them close that door?
It could very well be that case. When you're dealing with certain things like balls of past lives, it's hard to verify exactly what's going on. I try to stick with a scientific perspective, but still link the spiritual, because maybe there's some sort of foundation here for something that we have not be able to comprehend. But it could very well be that something in a past life, or just something they may have messed with when they were a kid, nothing happened then, but it did mark them, so to speak. It could be any number of reasons.
You ever think about having your own show, your reality show?
I've actually been in talks to appear with some of the bigger reality shows out there, but nothing's come of it yet.
Yeah, do you know, what's your opinion on a lot of those reality shows that are relevant to your topic? I mean, you know, for the most part, do you feel they're legit? Do you feel like they're non-legit? What's your thoughts on them?
I do know that they have staging crews that sometimes cause what looks like paranormal events to take place, but in reality it's just them trying to go for ratings. There's been a couple of times where I've networked with other groups. I won't mention the show specifically, but networked with other groups who've checked out locations that have been featured on those shows, and they've noticed that the area has been altered, like pentagrams were painted on the walls just for dramatic effects. So, I do believe there's some truth to them. It's just there's a lot of other things that go on that make you have to question whether or not you should follow them. A
lot of staging going on there. Okay, all right. Tell me about sentient. Am I saying that right? Sentient life force. What exactly is that?
A sentient life force, that's, you can say it's what creates the soul, but there have been cases that I've been studying for a new book that I'm writing where authors specifically, they go to focus on fictional characters. If anybody happens to be a fan of DC Comics, John Constantine is a popular example where some reason, whatever the authors, the way they obsessed with them, whatever they were focusing on while they were writing these stories, brought these characters to life.
Got it. Okay, right on. So tell us about your latest book, Dear Coda, The Letters You Wish You Had.
All right. My latest book is a bit of a self-help project. It's the way it's formatted, it's letters to my younger self addressing certain events, not necessarily paranormal in nature, but definitely have influenced it in some way. Basically, addressing my younger self as a way of overcoming certain traumatic experiences, addressing how all those situations unfolded and brought me to the point I am today.
All right, Dear Coda, The Letters You Wish You Had. So, something that you'd like to share with our audience there. What would you like to share with our audience and tell our audience how they can get a hold of you and get a copy of your book and anything else you'd like to love and leave us with?
All right, you can find a copy of any of my books. I've also been involved in movies, not necessarily paranormal related. You can find them on Amazon easily. You can find me on my website, DakotaFranson.com. You can find links to all my social media, a special hotline I've set up to where if you want to reach to me personally about a situation that you're dealing with, or if you're close enough to me or some of my affiliates, we can come to you and check out what's going on in your area. Do not be afraid to admit what's going on. I know you're already feeling like you're going crazy, but trust me, I understand that completely.
All right. Dakota Franson, everybody. Check him out. Go there. If you got anything you need to share, get off your chest. He's putting it out there that he'll help you out. Just help you get to the other side of this, whatever that may be for you. Listen, everybody, we had a really, pretty cool show today. Kenneth Hyde Hopkins, Dakota Franson. I mean, great stuff there. There's so much to talk about it. So much little time to talk about it in. Anyway, so I hope you enjoyed it because we most certainly did on our end. I hope you enjoyed it. And make sure you check out our guest today, okay? All right, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Out tonight, look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. Look up and I want to know what is. Do we really exist? Is life but a flame? A star burning out, is it the same? Look up and I see. Things have changed for me. I look up and I feel the ceiling has rearranged. Look up and I hear the dolphins cry. I look up and I just don't know why. Have we lost our way? Will we be here another day? Are these the end of days? Will we be here to mend our ways? Awaken, 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 awaken.
look up and I see stars came out for me. Will they move tonight and prove that